This is Conscious Lifestyles, the eco-friendly show for people, animals, and the planet.
So we're actually learning from our surroundings.
If you want to be green, you first need to be conscious.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing, absolutely.
Now, here's the host of Conscious Lifestyles, Ginger Leilani Chapin.
Hi there. Welcome to the show, everybody. I hope all is well with everyone who survived Hurricane Irene. We were without power for over 24 hours, and that was really painful, but it was not as painful as it was back in the spring of 2010. We were without power for over a week, and that was terrible because it was early March and it was so cold. But I hope everybody is okay, and God bless all the workers who are working feverishly to get the East Coast back up and running. But, you know, this did remind me, we have an eco-friendly home. However, we did not install any solar, and I really wish that we had. We do have a lot of beautiful old growth trees, and thank God none of them fell over because I am organic with all of my gardening, and they're healthy trees, and so thank God for that. But you know, we did install geothermal, and that is part of being on the grid still. So I think I'm going to have on my show upcoming about a lot more about solar. I've done quite a bit about solar in the past, but I've got to do more of that, because if we were all off the grid, we wouldn't be having these problems. Anyway, thank God we're back and we're back on the air. And today I have an amazing show, really, with truly amazing women. I am so grateful to have Coach Carl back on my show, Carl LaGreco. He was on my show back in June. What an amazing show. We got so many calls for that show, Carl. It was outstanding. And my first guest is Deborah Beck. And Deborah, you are so beautiful. You're over 50 and you are gorgeous. I showed your photograph to my producer here and she couldn't believe it. She said, that woman is so beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
And I think you would agree that a lot of beauty comes from the inside. How you choose to live your life. I think it really shows through. The reason why I'm having this show is to showcase a handful of amazing, wise women, and to also talk about the upcoming book that Coach Carl has. Really, this has been a labor of love for you. What an amazing book you have coming up. It will be available September 8th of this coming month on Amazon.com, 99 cents for a book called Healthy, Wise, and Amazing Women by Coach Carl LaGreco. I am in the book. I can't believe that when I read this book, I cannot believe that I was even part of this beautiful just synopsis of women who are truly amazing and have done so many cool things in their lives. And I thank you for including me in this book. And I certainly hope I can add to someone's life in some way. And that's why I love doing my show, because if I can help somebody out there, then I know I've done my job. Deborah Beck is my first amazing woman, along with Coach Carl. Coach, are you there?
I am here, Ginger. It's so great to be back. How are you?
I am great. Well, I'm glad I survived the storm. My first beautiful guest is Deborah Beck, and she is the author of My Feet Aren't Ugly, A Girl's Guide to Loving Herself from the Inside Out. What a beautiful book. And you can find Deborah on empoweredteensandparents.com. She currently resides in Sedona, Arizona. You are a coach for children, for teenagers and their parents. Is that correct?
Parents. And young women, but I really do concentrate on teens and parents to help them build a more harmonious relationship together, because that does break down during those years.
Well, how do we raise healthy, wise daughters?
I think by giving them the room, the space to kind of maneuver their whole life, but be there for them and guide them and encourage them to just be whoever they need to be and love them unconditionally, no matter what direction they go. You know what I mean? Like, whatever direction they decide to go is a good thing. Let them learn and go in those directions.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I remember when I was in college, I really wanted to major in marine biology. I've always been attracted to animals and nature, and certainly eco-friendly living. And my mother was determined that I concentrate on English literature, and I ended up majoring in English literature. And as good a major as that is, it really was not as fulfilling or even inspiring as if I had gone into a field that I truly was passionate about.
Absolutely. And we need that passion to drive us you know, through those things. If we don't have the passion and we're just doing it because we think it's the right thing to do, it just doesn't feel as good inside of our body.
I agree with you. And, you know, that's why I finally went back to my roots into the field that I knew I was passionate about. And, you know, I talked with Coach Carl about that back in June, about really finding your passion and helping the world to be a better place because you found your passion.
Exactly.
You know, so I saw, you know, what I love about this book that Coach Carl put together, Healthy Wise and Amazing Women, again, available on Amazon.com starting September 8th. What I love about it is that you wrote, or you explained to Coach Carl so beautifully about girls and self-esteem and how important that is for young girls, especially to understand their value.
Yes.
You know, I was thinking very quickly. I just want to say something quickly before you say anything. When I grew up, I unfortunately had to go to a public school, and I feel bad for people who are subjected to public schools today, and certainly when I was there. I did not go to a very good public school. I will admit that I graduated from Columbine High School. So with that said, it was not a great environment. I will say, in every public school I have been to, and I had to move around a lot as a kid, I saw how we valued girls in particular. There was, you know, homecoming queen, cheerleader. There was, you know, most beautiful. There were things, and I was always very popular. But I think being popular and focusing on the wrong things in school, which is where most children spend most of their time and where they're mostly influenced, let's be honest.
Definitely.
Is the wrong direction for our public educational system to go. And I wanted to go down that direction very quickly, Deborah, with you. What do you think of that?
I agree. I have two daughters of my own. They're older now. And one daughter was okay in the public system.
Mm-hmm.
The other daughter just got swallowed and crushed by it because of the peer pressure, because of you have to look a certain way, you have to wear, you know, certain clothes, you have to be a certain way to be okay with yourself. And it's like this is how we're training our girls, and you can't, you know, they are in school, and it is with their peers. It's hard for parents then to say, oh, no, you don't have to look a certain way because they're getting all of that in school. And I think it's really damaging. I think it's brutal, actually, you know, to teach them, and they have to be winners and someone has to lose.
Mm-hmm.
The whole system, the way it's set up, to me is just self-defeating. I think it doesn't make the majority of the teens or kids in school feel good about themselves.
I agree with you, you know, and that's the thing. How are we teaching girls to value themselves? You know, Coach
Carl.
You're
not in school.
The school system isn't teaching kids. We're teaching kids how to find a job instead of create a life.
Right.
Teenagers
need and how to compete.
And yeah, it's all externally focused. Follow the carrot, go get a safe job instead of be somebody amazing as you grow up and make a significant impact. To speak to parents raising teenagers, parents who worry about their kids, it's mainly because the child nor the parent really knows that child's sense of value. What are they worth? What are they great at? What are they passionate about? What's their gifts? A child who knows their passion and purpose, a teenager, will make the right choices.
Absolutely.
It's the ones who don't that will find their value in the external world and wake up when they're 40 and realize, oh, my God, I'm really not doing what I love. I never have. What am I doing with my life?
Right.
And so, that's
true.
Where mistrust between, you know, mom and daughter or dad and daughter come into play. When my parents trusted me because I knew what I was passionate about at a very young age, so they let me do what I want, and, you know, they sort of followed along my path. They let me lead my own life, and that's where Deborah and I really connect, is because we consult with teenagers,
right?
Take kids through camps. Most of what they tell me, 90%, their parents don't know because they don't have the trust or the rapport built in with their parents to feel safe enough to communicate to them. And those are the children you need to worry about the most because there's not that open communication.
I didn't have that with my parents.
Hey, does my child know the consequences of their actions?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and if they don't, well, that's a parent's problem, because that's where consulting comes into play, and communicating with your child and being authentic with them without judgment or making them wrong. I was just talking to somebody the other day, and you know, I just wrote a new article called Smart Kids Don't Tell the Truth. And the reason smart kids don't
right.
tell the truth is because every time they do, they get punished for it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So we're making our kids inauthentic people. Every time they tell the truth, if they get punished for it, well, they're
yes.
smart. They're not going to tell it.
I love that.
When I mentor teens and parents, I decided that I used to just mentor the teens, and I found that I was in no man's land. I had to bring the parent in. That is probably the biggest, one of the biggest issues that I deal with. I tell parents, do you want your teen to lie to you? No. Okay, then let's talk about, you know, how we're going to create your relationship. Because you keep telling them, don't do this, don't do that, but they're going to do this and they're going to do that, so you're setting up this system where they're going to become very good liars.
Mm-hmm.
And or, like, even in the career, like, the kids will say, I'm really passionate about art. Well, art's stupid. You're not going to make any money if you're an artist, and this is what you need to be doing. And so, you know, it's like I try to teach parents to, like, kind of create a relationship where you're having more of a conversation with your kids about what they want and you know, their purpose in life. And it's hard for parents because they are in that mode of controlling. And it just creates a really tough relationship between the two of them.
Yeah, that was very well said, Deborah. And I can tell you, my daughter's on this planet for a purpose, and my job is not to get in the way.
It's right.
To facilitate it, even if I don't like, I'm in the middle of tons of new things, and I just wrote one called "My Daughter Wants to Be a Janitor." Here's my reaction. That doesn't look good in the external world that my daughter would grow up and want to be a janitor. But you know what? If that's her passion, if that's her purpose,
right?
Fabulous.
Yeah, but what if she was inspired to have a janitorial company and became the CEO of that company?
Right.
You know, help them to reach higher. It's fantastic if you want to have, if you want to be a small business owner. Why not? You know, and I think those are things that you can always propel their thinking to a higher level. You know, reach for the moon. And I think children should be taught that. Unfortunately, you know, Deborah, I loved when you talked about in your interview exactly what we just talked about a few minutes ago. You know, you turn children into really good liars if you
right.
don't earn their trust.
Yes.
And I think a lot of parents have this idea of do as I say and don't question me, and that's
right.
the end of story.
And it's just ineffective.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an effective way of parenting because, you know, even to tell your teen, don't drink. You can't drink.
Yeah.
And I ask parents, how's that working for you?
It doesn't work.
Your kids drinking? Well, yes. Well, of course they are. You know, so you have to educate your kids. And that's what I do with the teen when I'm mentoring the teen is I give them all the power because the reality is they have it anyways.
Mm.
You know, parents think they have all the control and power, but they don't. And so if you give the teen all the power to make good decisions for themselves, 9 out of 10 times they make the right decision for themselves, knowing that they're making the decisions and the consequences come down on them.
Mm.
Because what ends up happening is if it's the parent calling all the shots, and the kid makes a decision, they get to blame it on the parent.
Mm.
They don't even have to be held accountable for their own thoughts or actions. And that's what I try to do with teens is say, okay, so let's look at this. Let's look at you're 14 and you're going to date a 19-year-old. Let's talk about it. And then after we get done talking about it and just exploring what that really looks like, and I don't tell them what to do, they always make a decision that is right for them, that would be a good decision. But if their parents come in and say, there's no way you're dating a 19-year-old, they sneak around and date a 19-year-old.
Well, have you seen those reality shows, Teen Mom?
You know what? I haven't. I should watch that.
Oh, you should. I'm surprised you haven't because that is your case in point right there. These
right.
are children who did not have good communication skills with their parents or their
right.
parents did not develop good communication with their kids.
Right.
And that's what happens.
Yep. It is. And it's just, and I think it just, you know, all the teens I talk to, they're like, I don't want to lie to my mom. I want to be authentic
mm-hmm.
to my parents. But they won't let me be because the consequences are so high. You know, so I have to lie to them. And so I try to get the parents to, you know, first of all, I mean, I just don't think grounding for, you know, all this stuff. I think it's, let's have a conversation about it and talk about it and see, you know, if we can come to a different way of being with each other.
Well, Deborah, we have a couple minutes left. What in your counseling service with teenagers and parents, what do you see the most often?
That exact thing, that kids don't want to lie to their parents, but they want to explore their lives themselves. They don't want to be told how to live their lives, especially when they're a teen and they're exploring. They don't want to be told what to major in college. They want to explore their own lives, and they want their parent to, they want a better relationship with their parent. They want to have a more authentic relationship with their parent. And so that's what I end up really working on, is bringing that, you know, teaching the teen how to have good self-worth and teaching the parent how to support their teen through that instead of control the situation.
Well, we have a 14-year-old child who is about to, in a couple weeks, go off to a very prestigious boarding school. We're very proud of him for getting in here in the Northeast. And mm-hmm. we have gotten him to focus on his future. You know, he told mm-hmm. me a long time ago he wanted to be an attorney. And I said, well, that means you've got to do X, Y, and Z. You need to focus on this. We got him into sports. He's very, very focused on his future. And I think that's a big part of it, is getting children to understand where do you want to go with your life? Because if you get them involved in activities and things that get them, that propel them forward into their own future, you get them away from the bad choices that they may make if they're not seeking their future.
Right. I agree with that. But I also agree that it's got to be a conversation of where they want to go,
mm-hmm.
and then talking to them about, okay, so let's talk about the actions you have to take to get yourself there.
Absolutely. And he has to be accountable.
Do you really want it?
Exactly. Absolutely. And that's exactly what we've done. I made very sure that we kept our child out of the public school system. I made
right.
very clear, it was clear in my mind that he needed to really focus, and luckily it's worked out for us. Now he's only going to be going into ninth grade, but you know, we got him into an environment where it's the creme de la creme. All the kids are smart. All the kids are focused. And they get to, I mean, some of these schools are just amazing. They get to go on a yacht down to the Virgin Islands in the winter to study oceanography. Mm-hmm. You know, he just has opportunity after opportunity. Now it's up to him to take those opportunities and to create the life that he wants. But it
that
was up
wants,
to me
right.
as the parent to make those opportunities for him.
Right.
So, you know, but everyone who's just tuning in, we're talking with Deborah Beck. She wrote what I think one of the greatest books ever. Every mom has got to get this. My Feet Aren't Ugly, A Girl's Guide to Loving Herself from the Inside Out. Share this with your daughters, because I think every girl should start to feel good about herself on the inside. Don't look on the outside. Don't look to your boyfriend. Don't look to what boys are thinking. Don't look to anybody else but you. You are beautiful the way you are. Focus on getting your vision where it should be. Focus on your future, because you have the right to be here. You know, when I was in acting class, when I first started acting in New York City, I was in a class, and this amazing casting director, she stopped filming and she put her things down and she said to another actress, "You are entitled to be here." And I will never forget that. Whenever I feel nervous, or I feel like I don't belong, or if I'm not somehow, you know, good enough, I think to myself, no, 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 I'm entitled to be here.
Absolutely.
So we'll end there, but I want to thank you, Deborah, for being there for young girls. This is such an important mission you have in your life. Everyone check out Deborah Beck at empoweredteensandparents.com. Empower your girls, please. That's the greatest gift you can give to the world.
Perfect.
You're listening Perfect. To Conscious Lifestyles.
Now, here's more eco-friendly advice for animals, the planet, and you.
Thank you so much.
It's Conscious Lifestyles. Here's Ginger.
Hi there, everybody. Welcome to my final segment. I am talking with a goddess of a businesswoman. That's how you've been described to me by Coach Carl LaGreco, who is the author of Healthy Wise and Amazing Women. And you know what, everyone, please go on Amazon.com on September 8th and buy this amazing book that you can get online. I am in it. There's a whole section on me, and I am really so honored to be even mentioned in the same breath with all the women that he has interviewed, because every single one of them are amazing. And Marina J, all the way in Australia, thank you so much for joining us.
Hello.
At 5 o'clock in the morning, your time, thank you so much. I can't thank you enough. You really are quite a woman. You have your own line of women's yoga clothing. You do coaching. You really propel women to thinking about their lives in terms of business and how to create businesses. Tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Well, wasn't too long ago that I was a single mom and found myself realizing that I could either sink or I could swim. And I made the conscious decision to swim. Mm-hmm. And I had looked around me for support, and a lot of the coaches and sort of therapy that was around me at the time wasn't really about getting me to the point of actually flourishing, of actually enjoying my life. It was all about fixing the problem and just making do. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to make do. I had a beautiful baby girl, and I knew that life could be amazing. So I set about creating a program for myself. And I didn't really realize it was a program back then, but it was. So I could actually start to clear the path so I could flourish in the future. Because so many single mums, and if you have any single mums listening to this right now, you have to clear your path, because otherwise it feels like you're carrying an extra suitcase with you wherever you go. So I cleared the past, and then I set about flourishing, and that's exactly where I find myself today, which is just great.
Well, how did you overcome the fear? You know, there's a lot of fear in, you know, after you've had a marriage fall apart, yeah, and you find yourself alone, and certainly with a child to support. How did you overcome the fear, and how did you get going in your future?
Well, you don't have a choice. I think the single mums out there can really relate to it. You just don't have a choice. It's just down to you have to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to get up in the morning. If you leave the washing on the table, you know, on the worktop in the morning because you haven't cleared away your breakfast dishes, you come back, you've got to do them. There's just no other way. So it forced me to become twice the woman I was. And it was more that I wanted to live a really good life and I wasn't going to settle. It would have been much easier to settle, but not on my soul. And it really was, you can either sink or swim in this situation. And mm-hmm. for me, there was no other way. So I actually felt a lot of fear, Ginger. Mm-hmm. I remember feeling that shot in my stomach every time I rang somebody, or that shot in my stomach every time I would make a big decision, like a financial decision. And I remember sitting on my bed, bawling my eyes out, mm-hmm. crying my eyes out, thinking to myself, okay, I could get a job and not see my daughter for over 12 hours a day, barely make ends meet because I'm paying for her to be away from me. I didn't have her to be away from me. I'm going to start my own business. And with that came a huge amount of trepidation, a huge amount of fear. I couldn't afford to pay for anybody. I had to do it all myself. But I did it, and that kept me going.
So, now, what about your first marriage, though? Did your husband at all support you and your child going forward after the divorce?
No. He was in a mess himself, and he tried, and no, I got absolutely nothing.
Well, that's a very common scenario. That's why I'm asking. My mother had the same scenario as well. You know, oftentimes they go through a divorce, and even if there is a judgment that they have to pay or whatever, they don't, and that check never comes for child support.
Yeah.
So that was my question.
Nothing. Mm. Yeah, I had nothing. I was in Sydney, Australia. I'm English, mm-hmm. but I had lived there for 15 years. All my best friends, it was bizarre, my four best friends moved out of Sydney that summer that I broke up. I had nobody. They were all living hours and hours and hours away. And so I had two decisions really to make. I could either make a decision from where I stood, which was, don't spend any money. You've got nothing coming in. You're broke. You've got no physical support. Your parents aren't here. Your friends aren't here to help babysit. Just keep going and something good will happen. Or I could make a decision from where I already wanted to be. So you know what I did? I thought, well, I'm a goddess. And when I'm a goddess, things will just come to me. And I'm going to walk around and pretend that I'm rich. I didn't have a car. I didn't have a mobile phone. I thought, I don't care. I'm going to walk around and pretend I'm rich. And I know that things are going to come in. And you know what? Every time I made a decision for my future, that money came in. It showed up every single time. And sometimes in the most unexpected ways.
Well, give us an example of something that happened that was unexpected, but you had willed it in your brain to come to pass, which I do believe, absolutely, your expectations do pave the way for you in your life.
Absolutely. When I moved back to Australia, I had money for either two of these. I wanted to buy a fridge, a washing machine, and a television. And I only had money for two of those things. So I bought.
You can laugh about that now, but let me tell you, that's a really tough place to be. We've all been there. I was a starving kid coming out of college, didn't have any money. We've all been there.
Yeah. And, you know, but I had a kid and I was 30, and it felt like a real kick in the guts after everything I'd been through.
Yeah.
I had gone back to the UK for a couple of years to get myself together, and I had studied become a coach at that time in California. So I thought, I'm not going to go back to Australia without anything. But I got back and literally barely had enough to make ends meet. But I was so determined. Two things happened. One was a girlfriend came out of nowhere and she said, I'm going to buy you the TV. And I remember crying in the department store. And the second thing was somebody anonymously sent me an envelope of money. And I know it was from one of my girlfriends, and I rang them, and nobody put their hand up, but I got some money through. And it just kept showing up like that. It would just be that I decided I wanted a TV. I knew I was going to get it. I just didn't know how. And the girlfriend would put her hand up. So it was incredible. It's not what happens to you in life. You know, I don't care if you're listening to this right now and you're living in a mansion or you're living in a broken-down home that to look at makes you feel really upset. It doesn't matter where you are in life. It's not what happens to you ever. It's how you deal with it.
Absolutely. I agree. It's absolutely how you deal with it. And, you know, I would love to share some of myself too, and I want to have you back for a full hour going forward, because this is such an important topic, how to get back on your feet and then some, how to become a goddess and how to become successful in every aspect of your life, to forgive yourself of past bad decisions and past mistakes that you did make, but what did you learn? That's a key thing to ask yourself. What did I learn from this challenging time or this bad decision that I did make where the consequences are there and I have to deal with them?
Absolutely. I think to think when you're in a stressful position, to think, oh, and I have to become a goddess as well, it just seems really, really frivolous. But I want to say to every single woman out there, you already are a goddess.
Mm-hmm.
You already are a goddess. Actually, you don't have to change. As you are, you're perfect. All you have to do is change the way you think about yourself.
Hmm.
And if you can do that, everything else will seem a lot easier. So, for example, if you are a goddess already, have you been treating yourself as a goddess? So when I was a single mom, one of the things I did to turn it around was I would drop my daughter off to daycare a little bit early. I only put her into daycare when she was three. I wanted her to be able to tell me how her day was before I gave her to anybody else. So I made a lot of sacrifices for that to happen, but I just trusted that it would be the right thing. So I would drop her off early, and I would get to the beach, and I would run down the beach because I didn't have time to walk.
Mm-hmm.
I'd float down the beach crying my eyes out. And you know how when you're on the beach, you get people that walk past and they're
yes.
saying hello? I wouldn't be looking at any of them. I'd just be pouting down the beach with a mission. I'd get to the top of this beautiful rock where you stand at the top, and as you turn, it's like a 360-degree view of two beaches, Sydney behind you, and just vast sea. And I would just let myself expand, my consciousness expand. And I might be there for a minute, because I didn't have time, but oh my goddess, I took absolute advantage of that minute. And I would realize and remember that I was completely unlimited. I wasn't my circumstance. I wasn't my bank account I wasn't what had happened to me. I wasn't my current situation either. I was me. I was a goddess, and I could attract anything I wanted to myself, absolutely anything. So on the way back down the beach, I would imagine that I was walking next to my husband, and I would actually verbally talk out loud to him. So these same joggers and dog walkers that I would not look at on the way, I then might see again, and this time this complete nusher would then be talking. And I wouldn't care. And I'd be saying to him, oh, I can't wait to see you tonight. And, right, and we'll do this. And we'll and I'd start madly laughing. And I did it, honestly, out of necessity. You know, I'm a bright woman. I went to university, the whole thing. But I knew somewhere in me that I needed to do this. I needed to create the life that I wanted to, even if it was just in my own head.
So in your mind, you created the husband that was right for you.
Yes.
And you were having conversations with him about having dinner that night and, you know, making plans. So what you did was you created the world that you wanted, not in a crazy way, but in a way where you were intentionally allowing those things to come into your life.
Yes. Yeah. So, and then I would, if I felt particularly down that day, see, this is the thing. When women feel down and when you feel sad or worried, most women contract.
Yes.
So what they stop doing is receiving. And that is exactly when you want to be doing the opposite. You want to be receiving. You want to lunge for that good feeling. You want to lunge to actually receive what it is that you need. So I went against, honestly, which was the first thing I wanted to do, which was curl up into a fetal position and just cry my eyes out most mornings, because I was holding down two jobs, didn't want to do either of them. You know, knew I was bigger and better than all of this, but somehow there I was. To going, no, I'm not going down with a ship, and I'm going to go for it. So I would imagine him all the way, and, you know, I'm a very polite person. I don't like to make big waves. So for me to be talking out loud on the beach, and this is every couple of days. This is not once in a blue moon. These people saw me regularly. They'd see me then walking with my daughter later on during the day. But my dreams were more important than what they thought of me. And then, yeah, the rest of the story is in the book.
Well, you know what?
You guys out there have to get the book.
Yeah, oh, I know. I actually do that. We have a lot of mountain pathways close to my house, and I do that. I walk along the pathway, and I talk to myself, and I'm interesting. I talk to myself. And that's what an acting coach always said to me in New York City. I'm interesting. And I am interesting. I want to talk to myself. I want to talk myself through some things. You know, when you read out loud, oftentimes, especially a book that might have a lot of technical terms and terminology, that you're reading it silently is not going to get into your brain. You've got to read it out loud. It's the same thing with your intentions. Is that what you're saying? You have to say them out loud?
I think it's different for everybody, actually, Ginger. I think that, yeah, for you and me, it might really, really work. I think the key is to be your own best friend. You know, no one knows you like you do, minute to minute, second to second. No one knows what you're thinking right this moment as you listen to these words. But no one knows how you're going to be affected. If you listen to this radio show and you feel compelled to go and do something, but you stop yourself, would a best friend do that? No.
Right.
So what if you did exactly what you needed to do? What if you did love yourself enough to be kind to yourself, to be your own best friend? And then that softness comes in your body and you go, oh. And then if you need to read out loud, you'll read out loud. Or maybe you need to dance it, you know, and have a little dance and go, right, I'm doing this, whatever it is. But it's really listening to yourself and going with your own flow, you know, not with anybody else's. And that's what I did, because there were people around me that thought I was completely mad. I'll tell you that for nothing.
Yeah,
you know what was really interesting? During my marriage breakup, we were going to a counselor, and she had a huge mansion on the beach. Again, her daughter was in, her son, sorry, was in a private school that I was desperate to get my daughter into, couldn't afford it. She had the loving husband. She had the whole thing. And I mean, this house was incredible. The consulting room would have been a spa room, you know, in most hotels across the world. And she would counsel us. Anyway, we broke up. And then I met her again about 3 years later. And she met me outside, a news agent, and she said to me, "Oh my God, how did you overtake me?" And I said, "What do you mean?" And she said, "Well, look at you. You're thriving. How did you do it?"
Mm.
And I said, "You know what? I'm living in a tiny two-bedroom rented flat. My income, my rent is only half, it's half my income. I don't have a car. I don't have a mobile phone. It's up, you know, it's three floors up. I carry my daughter everywhere. I'm exhausted." And I thought, I would never describe anybody in those terms. How did you overtake me? But I thought, you know what? She's right. And it has nothing to do with where you are right now or what's happening to you. And it's that program that I put myself on that forms the basis for my clients. And what I work with is their innate feminine energy. You've got it. It doesn't have to be hard work to get to where you want to get to. It just has to be natural to you. Because naturally, you want to grow. You want to flow. You want to flourish. That's the laws of nature.
Well, I want to be one of your clients. Do you work with people long distance?
I do, yes. I have clients in the US, in the UK, Austria, yes.
Where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me on www.marinaj.net.
Excellent. And you can also find Marina's story and all so many inspiring women. There are 14 incredibly inspiring women in Healthy, Wise, and Amazing Women, the book so lovingly put together by Coach Carl LaGreco. And that will be available starting September 8th, 2011 on Amazon.com. It's only 99 cents. You know what? Buy some for your family, for any girl that you know. This is all about girl power. And that's what I love about this book. And it was written by a man. He interviewed all these women across the world. And it, I was inspired by each and every story, the incredible obstacles, the negativity that all of you have gone through, including myself, and have come out of it, you know, and you've come through to the other side and you see how much more beautiful you are. And you actually see probably for the first time that you are beautiful.
Mm,
you know,
absolutely.
I didn't know, women don't know that they are so powerful. And, you know, I was thinking about this before the show started today. You know, we have all these women. They're amazing to talk about. How do I bring this all together? You know, Coach Carl did an incredible job. But, you know, every single culture and every single man-made religion in this world, on this planet, put women in a subservient, secondary position. I could not think of one culture that did not, on some level, degrade women to far lower than they should be. Why are we given those messages, Marina?
I think that ultimately the masculine has been very frightened of the feminine.
Mm-hmm. I knew you were going to say that.
Sorry?
I knew you were going to say that because I thought of that too.
Yeah, and you know what, Ginger? It's not just that the masculine's been scared of the feminine. Within each woman, her masculine side has been very scared of the feminine.
Mm.
And so you become half this woman, and you'll know if this is you and you're listening to this right now, you'll know if it's you. You feel gray, you feel you don't have much to look forward to when you wake up.
Yeah.
You think you should because you're married, you've got the kids, you've got the car, or you're a single parent, and you feel on the outside like you should be doing well. You should be happy because you've got the job. You're doing what is being shown to you as this is the way you get to where you want to get to. And yet inside, you feel like there's half of you walking around and you just feel like various shades of gray.
Mm.
That's the woman that needs to create and find her feminine side, which is actually very easy when she's supported. Because it's your feminine side that's going to give you that glow. It's that feminine side that's going to allow you to attract whatever it is that you want in your life. I had a group coaching call yesterday, and we called it the Blissful Community. And I asked the women on that call, what if you knew that you could have anything you wanted purely because you're a woman?
Are you asking me that?
Well, I asked them that, and mm-hmm. I ask you that, and I ask anybody else that's listening to this, what if you knew you could have anything and everything you wanted purely because you're a woman?
That's a really tough thing to answer.
Mm.
It is. It's for me, you know, and I think it's because I was writing in my head just mentally how expectations from society can drag you down. I quickly wanted to share with you a couple years ago, my nephew, whom we are raising, my husband and I are raising as our own child, and he's going off to a very prestigious boarding school. I have to say that I'm so proud of that because we work so hard with him. But you know, this fall he's going off into the ninth grade, and a couple years ago we had put him in a private school in our town where we live, and one of the moms, they know I'm a holistic health counselor. They know I'm very holistic and into nutrition, and I'm natural. I'm very much into the green living, and that's what I do. I mean, my God, how could I not live it if I talk about it on the show and I write about it? So one of the mothers had said to one of the boys at school, oh, well, you know, Hunter's mom is just weird. She's weird. And here she was installing and germinating in this little boy's brain at a very young age, how to discriminate against women just because I'm different from her, his mother, you know, and I think in broader terms. And she came up with that because there was this whole thing on swine flu. Remember that? Was that going on down in Australia? Swine flu, get your children vaccinated. Well, on my show, I talk about the dangers of vaccines and how that is completely false. You should never vaccinate your pets, your children, yourself. And I talk about how I was seriously injured by a vaccine. So I talk about that openly. Well, she didn't want to hear that because I wrote in to all the moms, please be careful of this propaganda. As a holistic health counselor, as a radio show host, as a researcher, as someone who's involved with so many experts around the world, I've got to tell you the truth. Do not vaccinate your children. Well, this mother thought that it was very weird. And so my question to you very quickly is, you know, what are we as women taught to do in this world with our children when we raise them to behave like that or to think that way? And what did the little boy do? He went to school and said to my nephew, oh, well, you know, your mom is weird. You know, it gets repeated.
Well, actually, I mean, one of the things that I specialize in is just that when you've got a relationship issue or somebody does something like that to you and you go, oh my God, you know, we're supposed to be the sisterhood, we're supposed to pull together. But one of the things I do is actually delve into somebody's dark side. And I would say to you, what's wrong with being weird?
Exactly.
Like if somebody said weird, if you can go back to your son and say to Hunter, well, what's the benefits of being a weirdo? And he might go, well, there aren't any. And you can go, okay, well, let's think about that. Maybe it means you're a bit more unique. Maybe it means, because you look at the weirdos that are out there in the press, a lot of those weirdos are multimillionaires.
Uh-huh.
You know, they thought of these crazy weird designs, but everybody else was like, that's weird. Forget it. That's not going to happen. And then look what happened.
Oh, yeah.
So you being all weird, fantastic. The world needs you, Ginger, to be weird.
Thank
you. Because if you weren't weird, you wouldn't be spearheading change.
Thank you, Marina. Well, that makes my day because that was exactly my answer to him. I mentioned rock stars and I mentioned Donald Trump and like you said, many of the most famous and wealthy people on this planet and the most influential people are what you would want to call them weird if they were just the average person in the office that day. But they're not average, and that's why they are where they are. So my final moment here on the show is to say thank you, Marina, because you have just, I think, given a breakthrough, I hope, to any woman who's listening. You can find her on marinaj.net.
That's right.
And also, please read about Marina and all of the amazing women on Healthy Wise and Amazing Women on Amazon.com. It's only 99 cents and it's available September 8th. You know, Marina, I hope to be one of your clients. You're just fantastic. And I want to have you back for a full hour because we're just getting warmed up here. So thank you. Thank you for being
my
guest.
Thank you so much.
All right. And then next week, we will have more amazing women from Healthy, Wise, and Amazing Women written by Coach Carl LaGreco. I cannot wait to share them with you. You are listening to Conscious Lifestyles. Mm-hmm.